Luke chapter 8. This chapter deals in the first part with the parable of the seed and the sower. And we do want to look at that, but that won't be our concentration. Maybe we would look in verse 16. Bearing in mind that he's just went over the parable of the seed and the sower. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, verse 16, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for with whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. If you'd like to look with us in the 11th chapter, along this same line of thinking about the light, the candlestick, chapter 11, verse 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If the whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. And when the bright shining, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So, if we think about this parable, so the parable is giving a picture. And just think about this, that the parable is to enlighten man. It's to bring man to the knowledge of where he is. So, as I think about that, and this scripture that would go with it, so the scripture that goes with it, that no man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it under a bushel, puts it under a vessel to cover it up. So, thinking along that, what would be our purpose today of coming to church? I'm serious. Everyone that is here today, your purpose, honest before God, from your heart, what was your purpose? Did you honestly come to church today with a purpose? Was it habit? Was it to satisfy someone else? Or was there honestly a purpose of coming to church today? So you see, according to my purpose, will really determine whether I am enlightened or not. Because you see, the Lord has come to enlighten us. You know, I can't help think about, Anthony talked about the ear. Well, we're going to talk about the eye. Jessica talked about her family and about having a knowledge. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful to have a knowledge. But if I have a knowledge and I shut my eyes and I close my ears, what good is the knowledge? What will I do with the knowledge? And do I have a desire today when I come to the house of God? Do I have a desire today for God to enlighten me? I'm going to say this, that the Lord was going to enlighten and give that opportunity. But if my ear is closed, there's not going to be no knowledge. That's right. If God is going to turn the light on and I'm going to put it under a bushel, I'm going to put it under a basket. So just, I ask you this, why would you light a candle? Why would you turn the flashlight on? Why would you turn the headlights on? Why would you walk in the room and turn the light on? Why would you do that? Well, that's what church is about, folks. Church is about coming that the light might be turned on. Not in this room, not in this building, but in here. God, the Lord Jesus came that the light could be turned on in here. Okay? So, you know, he talks about the eye. If the eye is single, then the whole body, it has light in it. Right? But if the eye be evil, then there's darkness. Now, you know, I thought about Margaret this morning. So that word evil, it means that it's ill. It could be disease. It could be defective. So, you know, according to Margaret, by this disease and this illness that's in the eye, you know what it makes her want to do? Close her eyes. So, now think with me. What's he really talking about? Is he talking about this? He's given us another parable. Through this, my whole body is enlightened. But really what he's talking about is the heart, is he not? He's talking about the heart of man. So I come to church. Do I come to church to be enlightened? Or have I come to church and my eyes diseased? Really, it's my heart. I come to church and I am closed down to hear what God has to say. I've already got my mind made up of where I am. Now you think about this little parable, and it's not a little parable, but it's a great parable. But this parable of the seed and the sower. So the seed and the sower is going to look at every life. And I believe this, that everybody in here is in this parable. Without question, everybody in the church is in the parable. So, let's start at the end and go backward. Are we coming to church to be enlightened? Or is our eyes closed to the enlightenment of God? Have we come to church today that God would reveal unto us? Why did I turn on the headlights when I left the house this morning? So I wouldn't run out of the road. So I wouldn't kill myself. So I wouldn't destroy my mother. So I wouldn't wreck my truck. Right? That's reasonable, isn't it? Why would I come to church today? Why did God turn the light on? So I wouldn't destroy myself. So I wouldn't be deceived. You know, have you ever done it? Have you ever tried to drive without the lights? Have you ever tried to go through the house? Have you ever tried to go through a strange place without a flashlight in the dark? I tell you what, you're very prone to make a wreck. Man is going to make a wreck of his life without the enlightenment of the Word of God. And you know something? I can come to the church over and over and over and over again, and my eye be evil, my eye be ill, my eye be defective, and I never hear what God has to say. And you know what happens? When I close my eye, if my heart is evil, if my heart is defective, if my heart is ill, I'm closed up. I'm not going to hear what God has to say. I've already got my mind made up. Preacher, that little parable is not going to change me. Well, let me ask you this, friend. You know what's going to happen with you? If you continue down the road with your eyes closed, you're going to wreck. And it's not going to be a little wreck. It's going to be a great, great fall. There was a man built his house on the sand, and it was easy. And it was quick. And friend, it went up quickly. But when the rains came, and the floods came, and the storms came, and the winds came, that house fell, and great was the fall of it. Right. Now, we're not talking about a house built out of brick and mortar and out of wood.
We're talking about a life. We're talking about eternal, everlasting life. We're talking about the only life that you've got. You don't have another chance. I might build another house. I might get another truck. They might take me to the hospital and fix this back. But when you leave this world lost and undone, there's no fixing that. When you leave the church house and, friend, you believe the lie and your eyes are closed and you refuse to come to the Word of God, there's no fixing that.
I'm going to look in 11 to start with. Luke 11. So no man, when he had lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now, you know, you might misread this, and you might think, well, he's talking about coming into the room, and I'm going to put the candlestick up where everybody can come in and look at the light. He's not wanting me to look at the light. He put the light up so I could see my surroundings. Now think with me. Is he really talking about putting a light in a room? Or is he talking about God Almighty's putting a light in here? And he wants me to see what's surrounding where the light is. You see, God has turned the light on in a man and a woman's heart that we could look and see how we are. So when you light a light, when you turn the... How would this be? You know, I see a lot of probably young men and young ladies. They've got these headlamps in their automobiles. And I mean, they're so bright you can't hardly drive past them. Now, how good would that be to put a cover over that? Would that be useless? I'm defeating the purpose, aren't I? So what good is it for God to turn the light on in the room and put it on a candlestick to where it cannot be denied and me walk in the room and close my eyes? I'm gonna get my flashlight out and I'm going to cap my hand over it. You know, isn't it amazing? I don't know whether you've ever done it. But you get a good strong flashlight and you kept your hand over it. I tell you what, isn't it amazing what you can see in there? You know, I can't see out through there. But boy, I can sure see what's in here. God's interested in illuminating what's in here. God's not, and honest, I believe we might look at it, we might misread it. But he's not interested in me setting up a lamp and Anthony come into the room and see the light. He's interested in himself setting up the lamp in my heart, in my life, and me looking and seeing what my surroundings are. Of what benefit would it be for me to come into the church tonight at midnight and turn on the light and close my eyes? What benefit would it be for me to turn on the lights on my truck tonight when I leave the church and head toward the house if I turn the lights on and I try to drive with my eyes closed? I mean, I believe it. We see that and we see how foolish that is. Let me ask you this. How foolish is it to come down to the house of God with our hearts shut up, with our ears shut up, with our eyes closed to what God is trying to reveal unto us? How foolish is that? Is that not more foolish than me getting in my vehicle and driving down 40 this evening at 80 miles an hour with the lights off or with the lights on and my eyes closed? It's the same difference, is it not? But it's more foolish to come to the house of God, isn't it? More foolish to come to the house of God. And friend, I come down here and God begins to turn the light on and I try to cover it up.
God help you.
So, this is what he says.
No man. No man. Isn't that amazing? No man. There's nobody going to light a candle and put it under a bushel. That's not going to happen. Why even light the light if you're going to put it under a bushel? Why come to the house of God if you're not going to hear? Why come to the house of God if I'm not willing to look in the mirror and see me? Why come to the house of God and hear the word? I tell you what we are. Friend, we're just like it was in Ezekiel. They're like a beautiful song that's singing, but you know something? They never hear the words. Friend, we go through the melody. Did you hear the words of that song we sung a minute ago? Only by grace. Friend, did you really hear the words? I tell you, God Almighty wants us to see the light, to hear the words. And friend, you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to change the direction of our life, friend, because of the light being turned on.
Right. Amen.
You ever let your eyes leave the road? And when they came back to the road, you jerked the wheel. That ever happened to you? That's what God's in right here. God is in the business of getting us to jerk the wheel and get our life back in line with the Word of God.
That's right.
Man's going to die and go to hell without the enlightenment of God. His eyes already got it figured out. He already knows. Just listen to these words. Luke chapter 11. No man, when he had lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come into may see the light. Does man want to see the light? You think man wants to see the light? No, he don't want to see the light. The truth is, man's heart and man's eye is evil. Man's eye is diseased. Man's eye is wicked and ill. And friend, when the light comes, you know what our immediate reaction? Is this not true? Immediately in the morning, you turn the light on, the first thing that happens is your eyes go shut. True, isn't it? Is that not true? God Almighty turns the light on. You know what man's heart does? Shuts down. I'm not receiving that. I'm not going to receive that. That hurts my eyes. It doesn't hurt your eyes. It hurts down in here. In here is where the real pain is. This is what the book says. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. So Christ has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know why I want to close my eyes? Friend, because I don't want to see the evil that I know that God is speaking to about me. God is speaking to evil. You know where that evil's at? It really doesn't matter. When God turns the light on in here, I'm not looking at Heather. I'm not looking at Anthony. I'm not looking at Darlene. I see what I'm having to look at. I'm having to look at me when God turns the light on inside of here. I'm having to look at me.
Right.
My immediate reaction is to shut my eyes.
That's right.
What am I going to do? Okay, call it a journey. Right? This journey of life. How long have we got? We have no idea. Some go out at 100. Some go out at 1. Some go out at 12. Some go out at 15. Some go out at 25. Some go out every number that you can name, they've gone out.
That's right.
Of course, one man went out at 969, but he went out. He went out to meet God. He went out to meet Almighty God.
Amen.
A friend, we're going out. So, am I willing to see and to hear as my eye? Would my eye be open today to what God has to say about me?
God,
or is our eye shut this morning?
Yeah.
Preacher, that hurts my eyes. I'm shutting that. I'm closing my eyes to that. You're closing your ears to it as well. You know why we close our eyes and our ears? Because our deeds are evil. Because our life does not match up with the Word of God. Because we're not saved. Because we've never been born again. Because Almighty God has never set up residence in our heart. And friend, the Word of God is contrary to me.
That's right.
I don't want to hear that.
That's right.
I don't want to accept that. I don't want to know about that. Isn't it amazing? A friend, that man wants to turn it off. He doesn't want to know about that. I reckon we think if we shut it off that it'll make it different. No, it won't make it any different. The message will still be the same whether you hear it or you don't.
That's right.
The road and the curve and the road, ladies and gentlemen, will still be the same whether you're looking at it and looking through the illumination of the light or whether you've got the lights off or your eyes closed. It doesn't change the curve and the road.
That's right. God help you.
What should I do? What should I do when I come down to the house of God? Do you reckon I ought to come with my eyes open? You reckon I ought to come with a willingness that God is going to illuminate something? And now listen, God's not interested in illuminating the building. Friend, I tell you, thank God we've got power and we've got the money and the treasure to pay the light bill. And friend, we've got lights in the building. And I tell you, Almighty God came to illuminate the heart of man. He came to reveal unto man how the darkness is in him. You know something he came to do? He came to get rid of the darkness.
Right.
Thank God he came that you and I wouldn't leave this world in darkness, but we could have the illumination of the Word of God.
Amen.
And he said, let there be light. And there was light. You bear with me, it may take a minute or two. So it says this, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, now the light of the body, the illuminator of the body, that's what that word means, the light of the body, the illuminator of the body is the eye. Would you say that every move I make today will be made by the illumination that comes through the eye?
Right?
Right? Is that fair to say? My steps, my sitting down to eat dinner, my fork in my hand, my mashing the button on the stove, my opening the door of the refrigerator, my pouring the water in the cup, every bit of it done through the illumination of the eye.
Right.
So every direction of my life as a whole comes through what's in here. What's in the heart. Now the eye is how that we come to understand and come to make decisions, right? We'll make decisions. Now I hear a vehicle going down the road. If Phil was out there in the parking lot and he was getting ready to pull out, you know I believe what he's going to do? I believe he's going to look both ways before he pulls out, right? He's going to make a decision. You're going to make a decision today when to pull out of the parking lot and, honestly, at what speed. There may be something that all of a sudden appears and it's going to change your reaction speed. God Almighty is trying to illuminate into us what is coming down the road of life, and He is expecting us to react unto what He lets us see.
That's right. God help you.
The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, I say this, When you get ready to pull out in the road here today, when you get ready to mash on the accelerator and let off the brake, I don't believe there's anything else on your mind but to look and see what's coming up or down the road, right? That is your single aim, is to get out in the road and not to be run over, not to crash, not to get hurt. You have one thing in mind, that's to get on the road in a safe manner.
Right.
God help you. Your wife may be talking. Your kids may be screaming. Mm-hmm. But your eye has a single aim. And that single aim is to make sure of my surroundings. And you know something? Isn't it something that in the middle of the night, honest to God, it's easier to pull out in the middle of the night a lot of times than it is during the day, isn't it?
Right.
Why is that? So would you think, in the darkness, that Almighty God's light, those headlights that are, here I am, I'm way out of sight of those headlights. I mean, I can't see that car. I can't see that car that just passed the end of West Road. But here I am below the sign. And you know what I see? Our friend here is Daniel Park facing this way. Our friend, no way that he can see that car that's around West Road. But here he is in the middle of the night. And friend, there is a flash in the mirror. Somebody's coming. It's not time for me to pull out yet. God Almighty is trying to make us aware in the darkness, ladies and gentlemen, a friend of where we are.
That's right.
And what are our surroundings.
That's right.
What's going on in our world.
God help you.
If thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. What's my aim in coming to church? Is my aim in coming to church to come to the truth? Is my aim in coming to church, God, illuminate unto me and let me see where I am in your kingdom and in your word. Let me see where I am, God. Is that your aim?
God help us.
I tell you, the aim of a multitude is to show face. They have no desire to know anything about them. They're here to make a show for somebody else. I don't say that to be ugly, but that's the God's honest truth. If I had a desire, and I come to church with a desire in my heart, I'll tell you what I could do. I could sit up and pay attention.
That's right.
People are not interested. Mm-hmm. You know something? If the light does not come through here, every move that you make will be with blindness and in darkness. Is that not true? Just imagine that you had to operate the rest of this physical day with both eyes closed. Imagine you had to operate the rest of this day with both of your eyes closed. If you are closed up unto the Word of God, you are operating in darkness.
Right.
You are headed for, in just a short period of time, you are headed for the greatest disaster that's ever come to mankind. You're going out to meet God with no light.
That's right. True.
But if thine eye is evil, thine eye is evil. So that means diseased, ill, and also full of darkness. Now that word there, evil, it also means this, to differ. Diseased or to differ. So the truth is, what you see may be a whole lot different than reality. If your heart and your eye is diseased. So there's Phil. There's Stevie.
Kevin, Larry, Darren, Trish, David. Now that's just this little group right here. You know what all of them have got? A pair of glasses on their face. And that pair of glasses makes what they see differ than what they would see without them. Almighty God says, if your eye is evil, then you have a different view of reality than what God says. You know what I need? I need God Almighty to put some glasses on me out of where I can see. I'll just say it like this. I wear these more and more. But you know something? Honest to God, if I could go out and stand in the sun, I wouldn't need them. I wouldn't, I promise. As bad as my eyes is right now, if I could go in the parking lot, I could read it and I wouldn't miss a word. God's turning the light on so we can see clearly. God's turning, honest, to thank God for the Holy Ghost. He not only turns the light on, but you know what? A friend, it may be on a dimmer. A friend, Almighty God does it like this. You see that light up there? A friend, God, through the Holy Ghost, does this. A friend, He turns it up out of where I can really see. By the Holy Spirit of God, He's able to illuminate it, friend, and allow me to see that crevice in my heart, in my life, that darkness, friend, that I couldn't see without the illumination of God Almighty.
That's right.
Now, if I'm going to come and my eyes are shut, I don't care how much He turns it up. Still got the same view. Right? I come to church with that attitude. It doesn't matter what God does. I've still got the same view. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? If thine eye be different, if thy eye is diseased, if thy eye is evil, the whole body is full of darkness. My gosh. I'm going to go all day, I'm going to go through life with my eyes closed to what the Word of God says. Where do you reckon I'm going to end up? I'm going to end up in the region of the damned. I'm going to end up in total darkness. I'm going to end up, friend, when God Almighty sent the light and my eyes are closed to it, my heart is not receptive to it, I'm not willing to look and see what God is saying about me. You know where I'm headed? I'm headed, friend, the whole life is full of darkness.
Right.
Preacher, I'm a pretty good fella. Paul was a pretty good fella too, wasn't he?
Right.
Wasn't Paul a pretty good fella? Blameless by the law. As far as everybody else could see. But you know what he was doing? Persecuting the church. He was running down the people of God. He was killing the people of God. He was headed to hell. Isn't that amazing? A friend, that a man with so much knowledge and so much zeal and so much going for him, and friend, had all of this great knowledge, all of this zeal, all of this desire, all of this want to, and friend, a man was headed to hell.
Right.
Could that happen to us? Could we be down at the house of God and have all of this knowledge and all of this desire and all of this faithfulness and be lost?
Right.
How's your attitude? How's that today? Huh? Oh, I can see how it is. Mm-hmm. Our eyes are shut and our ears are closed.
That's right.
See, preacher, that's not me. Oh, your eyes differ. Your eyes differ from what the book says. Your eyes are not getting the clear picture. You know something? I don't even know how small, but the least speck, my eye goes shut. The least speck. You know what I want to do? I want to get that out of there.
And my eye begins to water. Isn't it something that God Almighty, a friend, put a tear duct in there? And when something foreign comes in, I think God turns the water on and begins to wash it out. Would you like to have that that is foreign out of there and let the Lord put something in there? He wants to put a seed in there. You know, I can think about hay. You can think about it. Here we are, we're going to put up hay. It's been cut. It's been drying. It's been kicked. It's raked. We've got it in a bale, and we're trying to throw it up on the trailer, and one of those seeds comes in the eye. I want to get rid of that, don't I? I want that out of there. That is irritating. Almighty God, ladies and gentlemen, you know what He wants to do? He wants to put a seed, not in here. He wants to get the seed of the Word of God in here. He wants you to be willing to see and to hear the Word of God, and friend, that make a change in your life. What about coming to church for years and years and years and there's no change in the life? What do you reckon's wrong there? Has God never turned the light on? Or have we gone to church and our view? I've already got my mind made up, preacher. I'm right. I'm all right with God. I'm good. Your eyes diseased. Your eye is different than what the Word of God says. Just a little more. Bear with us a little more. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. So what's the light? It's the knowledge. It's the knowledge of the little parable, chapter 8. So what happened in the little parable? The little parable in chapter 8, the seed, is the Word of God. So a man went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some of it fell by the wayside. And this is what the Bible says. So some of it fell by the wayside. Chapter number 8. Now notice that he says this. Verse 6. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Let's look. Verse 12. Those by the wayside, though, he just said the sower went out to sow, and now he's saying those. What's he talking about? He's talking about people. People. Those people that the Word of God, the seed, fell on that pathway. Fell on the asphalt. Fell on the heart that was hardened. Fell on the heart and came to the ear and came to the eye, and man shut his eyes and closed his ears and hardened his heart. What happened to that seed of the Word of God? This happens Sunday after Sunday. The Word of God goes out, verse 6, and it was trodden down. That means to reject. What do you think if I accepted the Word of God? What would the result of that be? I'm going to ask you again. If I accepted what the Word of God said, what would the result be? Would there be a change? Would you say this? That there would be a change in the body of the seed. Would there be a change in the earth where it was planted? Would the earth burst open? Would there be something beautiful come out of that? So what happened to this? It fell on a stony heart. It fell on a hard heart. It fell on a place where people were unwilling and they disdained and rejected the Word of God. You know something? That pavement out there is not going to accept the Word. The pavement is not going to accept the seed out of the sower. Right? So that's what he's saying about man. Man's heart and his life is yielded. It's so hard that he rejects the Word of God. We come with that attitude to church. God has come to help us. God has come to turn the light on. God has come to enlighten us. He has come that we might be able to see that I need to jerk the wheel and get in line.
Right.
I may be running head on into God in just a minute. Around the next curve, I may run head on into Almighty God. But if my heart is hardened, if my eyes are closed, if I've got a differing opinion, now I want to ask you this, who do you think's right, my opinion or what God says? Who's right? So, the first soul fell by the wayside, verse 12, they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Do you know something? That if I would believe the word of God, I could be rescued.
That's right.
If I'd open my eyes, Anthony, though I'm practically in the ditch, though I'm headed head on toward a log truck, if I would open my eyes, God would give me time to pull it into the road and correct my destruction. But if I refuse to open my eyes, I'm headed to death.
That's right.
The second soul. And some fell on a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up. So now that word there means to swell. It withered to shrivel away because it lacked. It could not hold any moisture. What's going on there? So I'm going to sow, and I'm going to sow on something that's got about a quarter inch of topsoil I bought out of a bag at Lowe's, and I'm going to scatter it over the parking lot, and we're going to sow grass. And you know something? We're going to take a water hose and we're going to water it. And it's going to swell up. And it's going to germinate. Because I mean, under there is that black surface and the sun's bearing down. And the heat and the moisture causes it to burst open. And the same day that it springs up, it begins to wither away. Because there's nothing there to keep any moisture. You ever tried to grow a crop on a rock? Have you ever took a rock and poured 10 gallons of water on it and went back an hour later and there was 5 gallons left? No, I never have. Now, I tell you what, when the sun comes up and begins to beat down on it, there's nothing in there to hold any moisture. You know what a man will have to do? His heart will have to be open to receive the Word of God.
Right.
The heart will have to be receptive. I believe the heart will have to be broken. I believe the heart will have to be broken over. I tell you this, that man's heart is likened unto a stone. But he told Jeremiah, he said, you keep beating on it with that Jeremiah hammer and it'll break the rock open.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you. You look across the creek. These trees. Now listen. It may look on the outside like they're growing in a rock. But I tell you, God Almighty cracked the rock. And the roots are getting back to something that holds some moisture. So, I'm going to take that Word of God. And preacher, I'm going to make a trip to the altar, and I'm going to make a change in my life, and I'm going to get saved, and I'm going to make a profession, and I'm going to get baptized.
And it just blows out in no time. Dries up, withers up, nothing to it. Then we got others. We've got others that, you know, they've made a profession. But the cares of life, the pleasure, and the things of this world have choked out. Listen to what the Bible says. So, and some fell among the thorns, and the thist, and thorns sprang up. That means to grow up together with it and choked it, to stifle, to drown by overgrowth. My gosh, wouldn't that be an awful way to leave this world? To me, that'd be an awful way to leave, to be strangled to death. But you know, that's what's going on in a multitude of people's lives. The Word of God, a friend, is being choked out by the pleasure and the things of this world. A preacher, they're saved. They're saved. They're just carnal Christians. I'll tell you this, there is no such thing as a carnal Christian. You're either a child of God, born again, the Spirit and the Holy Ghost of God lives in your heart. You've been saved and life changed, or you are lost and undone. That's all there is. Carnal Christian. Where'd that bunch of bull come from? Easy believism. That's where that came from. I tell you, God Almighty, a friend will do a work in a man and a woman's heart if we'd be willing to hear and have our eyes open and our ears open. God would illuminate where we are. And we could be different afterward. So he says, And some other fell on good ground, and it sprang up. That other sprang up too. And it bare fruit. It bare fruit. You mean that that's real bears fruit? Yeah. That that's really saved. That woman that's really saved. That man that's really saved. What do you reckon the fruit is? Coming to church, preacher. Lost man can come to church, can't he? Helping your neighbor, preacher. Lost man can help a neighbor, can't he? What's the real fruit? What's the real fruit? What is the product of the Word of God planted in a heart? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God radiating out of that life. And he said it like this in Galatians. He says to us there, Galatians chapter number 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know something? If I would be willing to come down to the house of God and realize how, friend, my love for God, my love for the people of God, my love for the church of God, my love for the Word of God, how, friend, all of that is null and void. Right. Now, preacher, I'm not coming to church. Has coming to church ever made a change in your life? Coming to church ever caused you to jerk the wheel and get back in the road? Has coming to church and the illumination of the light of Almighty God, has that ever made a change in your direction? Where are we today? Where are we today? Lost and undone and in darkness. We say that we're saved and we're out of the will of God. Well, let me ask you this. If you know you're out of the will of God, and God has revealed to you you're out of the will of God, what are you going to do about that? I mean, if God is going to turn the light on and you see a log truck coming right at you, he's in his lane. Who's out of place? Must be me. Right. It must be me that's out of place if he's in his lane.
Right.
What are you going to do about that? Close your eyes. Close your ears. Leave the house of God another time with no change of direction. Better open our eyes, hadn't we? Hadn't we better open our eyes and see what God's saying?
Preacher, I have all this knowledge. I have all this. I have all of this. I've got all of these things on my credit side. I mean, I'm going to church and I'm doing good and I'm really a good person at heart. And Lord, I've got all these credits over here. How about this debit over here? What about that? Reckon you'll have to get rid of that before you'll be accepted of God. Rick and I'll have to come all the way back. What are we going to do today? What are we going to do today? Are we going to come today and God's going to turn the light on and we're going to try to stamp it out? We're going to put it under a bushel? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't turn the headlights on and close your eyes. You wouldn't turn the light on when you went into the bathroom and go in with your eyes closed. Right? So why would you come to the house of God and God turn the light on and you shut your eyes? I tell you, this demands a reaction. I tell you what, it's amazing.